It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome, and happy Preparation Day to everyone. May God bless you today. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We shall let us rejoice and be glad in it. Psalms 118, 24, Psalms 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Now, Brother Peyton says, happy Preparation Day to happy Preparation Day. Amen. April 7th, it's time for our opening prayer. My wife, undreamed of, will take us to the throne of grace.
Let's pray. Father, Father, we thank you for this time to come together for worship. Now we ask for your spirit to come and abide with us in a special way. Help us to be able to hear your word and to understand it as we grow in grace and wisdom. We ask for the anointing voice to be granted to our pastor and for you to fill him with your spirit. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is about time for the coming of Christ.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in...
That's not the right song. So let me get the right song. There we go.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time for Christian. It's about
is
Amen. Let's pray. Thanks. Father, as we study the gospel according to Hebrews 11, we in this early morning hour, we're asking for the presence of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for everyone who's joined us, both on the call and on Facebook. We pray that you led them, and because you led them, you will bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. My brothers and sisters, we've read this thousands of times, but we need to think about it. You hope for things. There are things that haven't happened yet. What is the substance of those things you hope for? What is the evidence that you're going to get the things you haven't had that you don't have yet? It's called faith. So sometimes breaking it down, really looking at the words, we claim the promises that God will give us what is best for us that we ask for, and faith is that substance, that evidence of what we are asking for, that we will get what we're asking for. By it, it says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Now, I don't know exactly what that's referring to, but I believe that's referring to Caleb and Joshua. Okay, they obtained a good report. It wasn't that they saw the victory. They saw giants. They saw impregnable forces, but fortresses, rather. But they hoped for them. It's what they wanted to see happen for them. And so they claimed God's going to give it to us. But it was based on his word, because he said he would. See, so when God says he would, that's why we end this broadcast every day with, but he shall receive. This is God talking to you. He shall receive, talking about the faithful who go through persecution. He shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. Now, God didn't say you would own the deed of those lands or the deed of those houses, not to say that you may not own the deeds of those houses. Some of us don't need the deed based on our calling, deeds of houses. But just like the brethren, the sisters, the mothers, they may not be your blood as in the biological mother, but you will have more mothers. You'll have more fathers. You'll have more children. You'll have more parents in the Lord. Amen? So, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You see, it takes faith to believe in some creative or original thought. It takes faith to be an atheist, because, as a matter of fact, it takes more faith to be an atheist than to be a Christian. Why? Because it's easy to believe that a supreme being, when you look at the order and structure of the mountains, the trees, the oceans, the seas, all of those things, It makes more sense. It's easier for the mind to grasp that something so intricate was made by a divine being. They believe that an explosion caused all this order. And they claim that we're stupid to have faith in God, and they believe an explosion that destroys everything created all this order. I think somebody else might be leaning towards stupidity. I don't know about you, but I think it's easier to have faith in God. It says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Now let me share something with you. Those of you who believe that We don't have to keep the Ten Commandments because we're under the new covenant and they had to be saved a different way than we are. They weren't saved a different way than we are. There's only one name, the Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 12, under heaven by which we can be saved. There's only one name, brothers and sisters, and that name is Jesus. And guess what? Jesus was prophesied in the Old Testament. That's why he could say in Luke 24:27, and beginning at Moses, Moses wrote Genesis, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all things concerning himself. So they knew about Jesus who was to come. They wrote about Jesus. That's why he could begin at Moses and go through all the prophets and talk about the things concerning himself. They were pointing to Jesus, and so they had faith in Jesus. So we're going to read this faith hall of fame, my brothers and sisters, and everything the righteous did was by faith. So they were saved by grace through faith. Now, God, because Jesus hadn't come, he had added some constant reminders of things to do to remind them that Jesus is coming, and that included the spilling of blood and the keeping of ceremonial annual Sabbaths that had nothing to do with the weekly Sabbath, okay? The weekly was commemorative. It pointed backward toward creation. These Sabbaths pointed forward to some aspect of Christ's ministry. That was done away with at the cross. We've gone through that, but I just wanted to bring it out. So I just want you to realize they live by faith. Righteousness by faith is the new covenant, okay? The point being made is the old covenant coexisted with the new because some people try to do what they're trying to do by works, meaning they're trying to overcome by their own works, okay? We don't overcome by our own works, but that doesn't take away the obligation of obedience. It's just that we're obedient by faith. If you're obedient by your own strength, you're in the old covenant, friends. But see, they take away the whole law. They take, what do they say, throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's not what God intended, my brothers and sisters. God's law has always been important. And I'm going to tell you a little secret. The only reason why they want to get rid of God's law is to have an excuse not to keep the Sabbath. There is not a mega church preacher that I know of. Now, it's crazy stuff going on, but I don't know of another mega church preacher that's saying, hey, it's all right to worship idols. It's all right to kill, steal, lie, and all that kind of thing. They just don't want to keep the Sabbath, so they had to find a justification, and they found a very lame one. The new covenant is the only covenant that God ever really, God instituted. Man added the old covenant because he said all that the Lord has spoken we will do, and it was ratified by blood. That's what we read earlier in one of the chapters of Hebrews, okay? So very important for us to understand God only had one covenant that he wanted to offer. It's the covenant. That's why Abraham believed God. It was appointed unto him for righteousness. Let's see who else believed. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch lived by faith. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's understand what that means, because this is powerful, because God says you can't even please me without faith. So it says, it explains it by saying, he that cometh to God, first of all, we must come, okay, must believe that he is. Well, he is who? He is what? Okay, well, let's go to the book of Exodus. And in Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 14, I believe. Look at verse 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. He said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. Now, if I walk up to you and say, hi, how are you? You say, I'm fine. And I reach out my hand and I say, my name is, or if I say, what's your name? You tell me your name. Then I say, oh, that's nice. My name is, you would think I was a little cuckoo crazy, okay? But Do you know that anything you add to I am is limiting? I am Shellum Fleming. That means I cannot be Donald Trump. I am Shellum Fleming. That means I cannot be Barack Obama. Anything you add to I am is limiting. What God was doing, he was showing the children of Israel that he is a limitless God. They had to believe in his power first because they needed somebody who could help them, okay? You can have a loving God, but if he doesn't have the ability to help you, you're not going to get the help that you need. I could use some money to expand the ministry. So if I contacted any former or present president, once you get to that level, you're a millionaire. It's just a fact. Statistics, sociology has taught us that. So if I go to the White House, or if I go down to Mar-a-Lago or wherever Barack Obama lives, Martha's Vineyard is one place, and I say, listen, can I have $1 million? I believe each of them can write me a check for $1 million. They can. They have the ability to do so. But if I go out to the area where the homeless live, some of them will give you their last piece of bread. But the bottom line is they cannot help you. They don't have the ability to help you. So with faith, we must believe that God is able. You know, we grew up singing a song, he's able, he's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He's able, he's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. Why? He healed the brokenhearted and set the captive free. He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. Did medical missionary work, you see. He's able, he's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. You see, we have an experience with God because we've tested him and he built our faith as we exercised the little faith we had. It began to grow, and that's why you see the great things talked about in Hebrews chapter 6. So you've got to believe that he is able to heal you. Then you have to believe that he's compassionate enough. Now, the president I mentioned and former president, the men I mentioned, a president and former president, they are able to write a million-dollar check. But are they willing to write a million-dollar check to me? The answer most likely is no, okay? So you need to serve a God that you know he's able, but then you also have to know he's a rewarder. Now, think about how we love our little children. We like to reward them. We want to reward them. We want to give little Johnny, little Susie, or whatever their names are. You know, we have some complicated names these days, Shintinkwala and Shintweeka and all these kinds of things. I don't care what name you name your child, my friend, but when that little baby is talking and they're doing their, mommy, I finished my breakfast, or mommy, or daddy, I swept the floor. Not a floor, it's all messed up and everything, but you say, oh, that's so nice, little Johnny, little Shanika, little whatever, and you're excited and you want to give them something to reward them. And usually it's not something that costs a lot of money unless you let them watch a whole lot of TV and then they want those expensive things, okay? You give them something. When I grew up, my sisters learned how to recycle gifts. And we weren't even concerned about the gift. It was just that they had all these things. It was things we already had or things they already had. We had seen, but we just liked the excitement of opening up the gifts. Now, they had some new things, too, but the point being made is we didn't grow up with a lot of money, but it was still an exciting time to open up gifts at certain times of the year. So that being said, brothers and sisters, we've got to understand what faith is. It is believing that God is able to do these great things we want him to do and that he's willing, he loves you, he's compassionate to do these things. You can see that, and I'll move on from this in the life of Jacob. Jacob had sinned. He deceived his brother Esau, even though God had prophesied that he would get the birthright. He did it in his own strength. That's the old covenant way, righteousness by works. But by the time he came back, he understood faith. You know, and this is how God helped him understand faith. You heard that song, we are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder, soldiers of the cross. Well, guess what? That talks about the story where Jacob was on his way back to the brother who was trying to kill him. And God had to show him that I'm able to help you. So he had him go to sleep on the ground with a rock as his pillow. And God gave him a vision of a ladder going all the way from earth to heaven, touching down to the ground, going all the way up to heaven. And God was standing on top of that ladder. The Bible says, this is in Genesis 28, and angels that excel in strength were ascending and descending on that ladder. That showed Jacob that, wow, God is able. He's got all the angelic hosts at his beck and call. He can dispatch them quickly to help me. So he knew God was able. He saw who was superintending and administrating at the highest level in the universe. That shows him. So what was Esau if we had to serve a God like that? So that gave him faith part number one. Part number one of faith. You got to believe he's able. So God showed him that. A few days later, somebody hugged him. But he thought, it was Esau, one of Esau's representatives. So he started wrestling, and they wrestled all night long. That shows they had the health message, brothers and sisters, because we can't wrestle all night long like they could. We need to make sure we keep our stamina up. Let's get some exercise. Can we say amen? All right, so he wrestled all night long, and at the break of day, the assailant, quote unquote, just took his finger and touched the hollow of his thigh, and that thigh jumped out of joint. Brothers and sisters, if you want a pain like no other pain, let your thigh jump out of joint. And it just was excruciating. And he realized he was not dealing with a regular man. And he said, let me go. And he said, I will not let thee go unless you bless me. You see. So eventually, God blessed Jacob. And then he let him go. So the point being made is the God who was superintending the universe in the form of Jesus Christ, the Son, walked down every rung of that ladder. When he touched the ground, he went over and showed compassion to Jacob. He hugged him. He said, I want you to know that the God you saw that was standing on top of that ladder, who can help you, is here and willing and compassionate enough to help you. Amen. Somebody needs a job. The God who is able is also compassionate and willing to give you that job. Amen. Praise God. So my brothers and sisters, I know we took a little time. We're going to have to speed through the rest of it, but I want you to understand what faith is. It is believing that God is able, believing that he's willing, and you'll see it throughout all the Bible. Jacob is just a highlight because you see it in those two primary things that prepared him to see his brother Esau. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not as yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. You see, he went outside the city and built a country home, one that could float on the water. Can we say amen? And by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. See, again, all of you people who say they were in the old covenant, we're in the new. No, Noah had righteousness, which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he stood should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed. So what does new covenant life look like? It looks like obedience. Noah obeyed. Abel obeyed. Jacob obeyed. That means you don't obey something if the commandment is nullified. If there's no commandment, there's nothing to obey. You've been lied to, my friend. We have to obey in the new covenant. These men live righteous by faith. That's what the new covenant is. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out unto a place which he should afterward receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob and heirs with him of the same promise, You see, they went out and got into the country, brothers and sisters. Some of us won't obey, okay? We're too scared. We're afraid of bugs. We're afraid of frogs. And I'm not saying that you don't need to be afraid, but, you know, God will help you. And I'm going to tell you something. There's some false ideas that the devil puts in our minds. Some people think that when you live in the country, your house is infested, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Any home you can build in the city, you can build in the country. They're both built on pieces of dirt, okay, my friends? And I'm going to tell you, the place that has the most rats in the world is New York City, okay? So it's infested. So you can't say that you're going to be concerned about infestation if you live in the country. By faith, Abraham, we already read that. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She didn't always have that faith. Sarah laughed. But then she believed, brothers and sisters, and a baby was put in her 90-year-old body. Amen. Therefore, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, having received the promises, but not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Didn't mean that God didn't answer their prayer. In other words, they were all part of the steps that led to Christ. That's what they're saying. So by faith, they did their part that God called them to do, and they were looking forward to a future that would come when Christ would come. He wasn't there at that time, for that wasn't their calling to see him in person. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. See, they're planning on going to heaven. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. That was a symbol of Christ, my friend. Christ, God, had to offer his only begotten son. That's what he was teaching Abraham in that test. Of whom it was said then, that in Isaac shall all thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. He was told to kill his son, and he was willing to do it because he trusted God. He said, well, you're going to have to just raise him up then, because he's the one you said is the promised seed. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. You see, God tells you to do some things, brothers and sisters, and it might not be what the government tells you to do. The government at that time said, you got to turn all these children over to be killed. They said, no, we're not going to kill our son, Moses. And so by faith, they hid him. Sometimes we have to do some interesting things by faith. By faith, Moses. And see, this teaches us that while we are to obey what the government tell us to do, that's when they deal with the last six commandments. But when they deal with our worship of God, brothers and sisters, we can't obey when they go against the commandments of God. You see, when they go against God's commandments, you know, we have to obey God, okay? By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. See, we need to get rid of worldliness. We need to flee from it by faith. Through faith, he kept the Passover. You see, by faith, we spend more time with God than we do on TV. By faith. And that's why we're stronger. Time yourself. And if you're spending more time watching TV than you are in the Word of God, then you need to have a change in how you do things, my brothers and sisters. Our mind should be on God, meditating on the Lord. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch him. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished, not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. This woman was giving her body, selling her body, and had faith in God. Friends, let me tell you something. There's a lot of people out there that have more faith than God's people. Because they realize, man, the stuff I'm doing is messed up. There's got to be a God somewhere. There's got to be, and I'm going to trust him. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and all and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yet moreover of bonds and imprisonment. Okay? They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, but God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Praise God. Friends, we have to live by faith. Faith causes is an action word. It causes us to do all the things that you just read. And they lived by faith. That is what the new covenant is. That's why the Bible says, God said, I'll do a new thing. I'll put my law in your heart. Well, guess what? It was in their hearts too. Okay? And that's why David could say he served God with his whole heart. It's just that in contrast to those who live by their own works, that means you think you're going to be saved by your own merit. Friends, you're not going to be saved. That's why there's not enough love in the church. You see, we have all kind of bitterness and gall and gossip and taking up a reproach and backbiting because of so many people who have high positions in the church that are not converted. They're not converted. Let me tell you one way you'll know. The Bible says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples indeed if you have love one toward another. Be accused of something and see how many people call you and care about you. The converted people will still call you. The unconverted won't. Now, that tells you how many people are converted in the church. Very few. You're not supposed to let somebody go and die in their sin. But you don't check on them. You let years pass. You just cut them off. You're not converted. I'm here to tell you, you're not converted. And you need to be converted, my friend. Because if you don't have the spirit to seek and save the lost, and sometimes the person that you accuse is actually innocent of what you accuse them of. And sometimes that's what drives people out of the church. So I'm here to tell you, we need to surrender ourselves to God and ask God, Lord, am I converted? Do I have the love of Jesus that would seek and save the lost? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this worship. Thank you for teaching us with the Faith Hall of Fame how to have more faith, to believe that you are able, to believe that you're willing and you're compassionate. Help us to understand faith as an action word, that you only had one covenant that you were offering. It's just that the children of Israel added a second when they chose to do things by their own works. That did not work, but it was ratified by blood. The new covenant is called new because the blood of Jesus was spilled after the blood of bulls and goats, and that's why it's new, but there was only one way to be saved. They had more restrictions and things to do, because they pointed forward to Christ. But once you died, Jesus died, rather on Calvary's cross. Your son died on Calvary's cross. Those things were nailed to the cross. But there's only one way to be saved. Help us, Lord, to be obedient and stop listening to preachers that are telling us lies, and help us to stop being preachers that are lying to the people. And let's be obedient, for our soul salvations are at stake. In Jesus' name, give us more faith. All right, my friend, look forward to coming back and hearing from Sister Lenny. The worship is entitled An Offering Without Blemish. We're going to take a little 8-minute break while we hear the Torso song as our song of intermission.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are His natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon. Enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. we will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to North of, the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Come and see.
Amen. Sister Lenny will now present an offering without blemish.
Good morning. Happy Friday. An offering without blemish. In the ancient Jewish service, it was required that every sacrifice should be without blemish. In the text, we are told to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And that's in Romans 12, 1 to 2. We are God's workmanship. The psalmist, meditating upon the marvelous work of God in the human frame, exclaimed, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. There are many who are educated in the sciences and are familiar with the theory of the truth who do not understand the laws that govern their own being. God has given us faculties and talents, and it is our duty as his sons and daughters, to make the best use of them. If we weaken these powers of mind or body by wrong habits or indulgence of perverted appetite, it will be impossible for us to honor God as we should. God requires the body to be rendered a living sacrifice to him, not a dead or a dying sacrifice. The offerings of the ancient Hebrews were to be without blemish and will be pleasing to God to accept a human offering that is filled with disease and corruption. He tells us that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and he requires us to take care of this temple, that it may be a fit habitation for his spirit. The Apostle Paul gives us this admonition Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. All should be very careful to preserve the body in the best condition of health, that they may render to God perfect service and do their duty in the family and in society. This morning's health segment is coming from Counsels on Diet and Foods, page 20 to 21. Thank you so much. Let us give ourselves to God without blemish and be a blessing to someone today. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Roll call time. All right, friends, we have Massachusetts. I believe that's Massachusetts on the line. We have We have North Carolina. We have Virginia. And on the call, we have Delaware and Delaware and Delaware again. We have Ohio. We have Iowa. We have Oklahoma. We have Georgia. We're your servants here in Pennsylvania. Phone lines are open. If anyone has anything you'd like to share, any question, comments, or anything, please feel free to press star 6. We have about 13 minutes to the top of the hour, so plenty of time to hear from our family member. That's who you are, my friend. You're a family member. And we also have South Carolina also on Facebook now. Who will be first to share something with us, ask a question, have a comment, if there is anyone?
Pastor?
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to thank everybody for praying for my brother-in-law. He is doing so well. He and my sister celebrated their anniversary last week, and they renewed their vows. And so I just want to thank God for his health, and he's continuing to do things to help his what he's going, all the things that he's going through. So I just want to thank everyone for doing that.
Praise God. Amen. Is there anyone else that would like to share anything? Yeah, we praise God for healing and for blessing. He's a wonderful God, and we just can't praise him enough for his great healing power. Well, friends, it's preparation day. Let's, by faith, be ready for the Sabbath. By faith, have your clothes ironed before the Sabbath. By faith, have everything clean before the Sabbath. Have faith. By faith, have your food prepared before the Sabbath so that you can usher it in and on that day you can rest. Everything we do by faith. Not legalism, friends. It's by faith. So by the grace of God, we will enjoy this preparation day, getting ready for the holy Sabbath of the Lord. There's no one in the queue. I'll turn it over to my wife to close us out. Before I do so, I'd like to remind you that if you'd like to support Torso Ministry, you can do so by writing to us at Post Office Box 208. That is Churchisville, Pennsylvania, and that's 15032. You can support through the donate button on our website, torso.org, or you can go to biblicalbooster.org, where the book, The Biblical Booster, is sold. You can also use Cash App, Zelle, if you'd like to, and we will transfer the funds, and you'll get a tax receipt for any of these methods. Thank you for your prayers most of all, and we do appreciate your support of the ministry. All right, that being said, my wife, Vandrimda, will take us to the throne of grace.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to be able to open up your word, and we pray that we'll continue to study these things out, always asking for your spirit to teach us and to help us to grow deeper into your word, giving us more knowledge and understanding so we'll be able to share with others. We thank you for this day of preparation, and we do all we can to be able to welcome in your holy Sabbath. We ask for special blessings to be granted to each one who has come on this line and participated. And for those who have yet to hear it, we ask that you will bless them as well. May each of us be faithful to you as we lay everything at the foot of the cross. asking you to help us to be in a state of surrendering with each stand so that we can gain the victory and ultimately gain your image. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, we do our part in faith, God, with open wings before us now, on joined us. God bless you, and happy preparation day.
Amen. Closing song, I will trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord. I will.